Today on DNA Discoveries, I'm very excited to be speaking with Lisa, who is going to be sharing her story of finding family. A lot of times these stories that are shared on DNA Discoveries are about finding a biological parent or maybe a sibling. But today she's going to share her story of finding family, specifically an uncle. And for me, you know, I think I enjoy stories like this because, you know, it's relatable to me in my situation because I found a cousin. So, and was able to identify that my mother had a sister. Both of them have been given up for adoption and such. So it's just nice, you know, sometimes to say, you know, maybe you're not looking for a parent or a sibling, but you find some other relative along the way. And that's the case for Lisa. And I thank you so much, Lisa, for taking time out of your busy day to speak with me and to share your story with the DNA Discoveries audience.
Thank you. So I'll start with some context and background of, so you know, why this stood out to me when I looked at the DNA match. But my one side of my family is like your classic Americana, where some people came over on the Mayflower, and they were in the American, they were in the Civil War, they were came over from the potato famine from Ireland, like all of those things. When you look at American history, some part of my family some way was in, and because of that, there are a lot of records and family trees that people have done. And so for a long time, even back before, you know, the websites that they have out there to build family trees, I've been exchanging emails or written letters, or somebody will give me a tree from a book. So I know all the last names. I feel like I know all the last names on my mother's side that you could ever know. And as I continually look for more things and more clues now on the internet, you know, find more interesting information or what their profession was or what flood happened, and that's why we can't find these records, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I get obsessed and I'll stay awake and do that for hours. Well, As my parents are getting older, I insisted that they do their DNA. And first was my father, and then was my mother. Now my father has passed in 2019. And after that, I think sometime early 2020, I think my mother finally agreed to do hers. And I uploaded it to my account, Well, of course, she messed it up the first time and we had to get another kit and do it over. But we finally got it right. I uploaded it to my ancestry.com page and probably left it there for a little while. And then one night I got on one of my kicks and went back to see what else I can find about the family tree. And I mostly focus on my mom's, because my dad's side, it's like we still can't figure out where and when they came, or really where they came into America. There aren't those clear records. It's in the early 1900s and all the Ellis Island stuff. And we just have no records of those immigration stuff on my dad's side. So I'm on one of my kicks one night, and I'm gonna just, what other clues can I find? And I look at my mom's DNA matches, and I was like, that I don't know that last name, and I know every last name, like I know. And so Ancestry will show you how they think you're related. And remember, this is my mom's DNA I'm looking at. And so it was like first cousin or daughter, or like just ones that weren't making sense. And I forget how I did that, but in that I figured out, I'll back into that. But so none of it was making sense. And I wrote my mom and asked if she knew that last name, and she didn't. And then I figured out that it was a girl in her early 20s had uploaded her DNA. Don't recognize her name. The relationship's just too close. We should know it. And we come from a really large family too. My mom is 5 brothers and a sister. So I jokingly write my mom and one of her brothers, and I was like, did somebody have to have a kid and not tell me? Like, please fess up, you know, what could this be? No, Lisa, you know. And so I start to look at the relationships, and I look at one of them that ancestry tells you that it could be. And I look at one of them, and it's like half niece. And I'm like, wait a minute. I always heard my grandfather was good looking. And I've heard stories, but what? And so I went on Facebook. I found the girl, and I got this weird feeling in my stomach that there's a relationship there, because she just had the look of that side of the family. And then I was like, but like, how are we related? She's just too young. She doesn't fit. And so I'm a internet sleuth, right? And you put too much out there, I'll find out about it. And so I finally figured out, found pictures of her mother, and then found pictures of her father. And when I got to the father, I was like, oh my God, that's my mother's father's side, no doubt in my mind. The features are so distinct. And so I tell my mom, and my mom's very open-minded, tell my mom what I think I see. I pull down all the pictures of my mom's brothers and my grandfather. I cut them in half, or sorry, pasted this man's photo next to it, stared at each one of them. My mom was like, I don't know, man, that's a relationship. Send it to my mother. She agrees. So I start digging on Ancestry to put dates and facts together, because now I'm pretty sure that this is a half brother of my mom, and it is his daughter who uploaded her DNA. And I, like I said, can find anything about anybody on the internet. And so I start figuring out where this man lives now. And sure enough, it's in the adjacent state of where my mom grew up, in the close enough city that it would make sense if there was some kind of move or something, or my grandfather would have been in that area. He was also a traveling salesman at the time. And this would have been the 1950s. So this early 1950s. So I find phone numbers. And I don't, well, actually, let me back up before I found the phone numbers. So I start digging, because I want to make an absolute confirmation of what I think I'm seeing. I start looking at the city directories. I start looking at addresses for people. I start asking my mom all kinds of questions. You know, I finally get to one city directory, and I had all these dates in my head and all the city directory information in my head, and you know, and like, it's starting to come together where my grandparents lived, what year this probably was, because I found this man's birth-ish year on the internet too. And like, when I figured out some of that, I also was able to trace who his mother was. And so started putting those thoughts into the database for searches, and started getting hits here and there. But in the city directories, if you were a woman, they did not list your profession or anything like that. You were just in parentheses with your first name, but they would have the man's first name in them and the man's profession and the address. So I find this woman's husband's entry, and I can't remember how I tracked that down now, but I can't remember it. But I figured out where they were living in the early 1950s from the address, asked my mom, and I know that area. We don't live anywhere near there now. We're across the country, but I asked my mom about that area and she started to remember things, like going down that way. And then I kept flipping in the city directories. And the next year, so now we're in 1952. So that must have been 51 when I found the mother's name, but married to someone as it appeared so in the city directory. I flipped to the next year. Now that woman is living alone, and she's at an address that when I asked my mom, she remembered exactly where that was, remembered the color of the house, and vaguely remembered going down there. And so I gave my mom the name, and I had already kind of figured out we had a real hit, because in the city directory, as I said, when you're married, it just as a woman, it just has your first name. It does not say your profession. Now, when you're listed alone as a woman, now it has your profession and where you work, right? So there was her place of work, and that's where my grandpa worked. And
so it was a coworker. Okay.
Yeah.
That's how they met. And obviously they, you know, so what you don't know is how long this relationship was. You don't know if it was just, you know, was it a limited, maybe once or twice, or was this an ongoing long-term relationship? That's something you don't know.
Correct. And when I shared my mom with my mom, the woman's name, and my mom said, I know exactly who that was. I used to go in and see her when I would go see my dad. And she's the one that you would run into when you went in the door. And I'd ask her where my dad was sometimes. So my mom clearly remembered who the woman was. And I kept digging, though, for more confirmation. You never want to just, you know, hi, this is what I'm thinking you are. I want to be like 1,000% sure. Well, everything I would say to my mom about like what I found in city directories and all that kind of stuff, my mom could confirm. And, you know, this was the 50s. So I figured out when his birthday would have been roughly. And he would have been the seventh child then, right after my youngest uncle by a few months. So I will now refer to him as my new uncle, because sure. I'm pretty sure this man is my new uncle. And I went to the back to the internet randomly searching and to find phone numbers. And my first thought is I would find the woman, her phone number. And eventually I did. And I had a story, which I know probably not appropriate, wouldn't recommend this. I think this is all luck on my part. I called the phone number with the story of, hey, researching my grandfather, I think you worked with him. So that was going to be my story. I wasn't going to, I didn't want to startle anyone. Well, she answered. I started with that. And now she would be in her 80s, right? This was the 50s. She would be in her 80s now. She immediately redirected the conversation away from my question and started just telling me about, she's a painter, avid painter, and talking about her paintings. And I said, well, that's something about human psychology. Like, I think I just hit something. I clearly made someone uncomfortable. And I think I may have tried to ask a couple of questions again, like, do you remember working with my grandpa? And I couldn't get the conversation into back to that at all. And so eventually it wasn't a very long conversation. Hung up the phone. And my plan.
So this is the lady that is the mother of your grandfather's son, who is now your uncle.
Yes. So it would have been the woman that my grandfather had a relationship with.
So she's redirecting, even though she had this relationship, she was single, divorced. She had a child then. So there must have been like some sort of maybe for her shame around this or something that would lead her away from even wanting to address it or even talk about him, because obviously they knew each other. They had a relationship. She knew that her son was his child. But yeah, so that's interesting to me that she redirected in that way. So she never confirmed or denied or anything like that.
Eventually. So the story goes on. It was a journey. So I wasn't going to give up. And I found the phone number of who I thought was my new uncle. And I sent a text. I actually can't remember if I sent a text or left a voicemail. I feel like I sent a text. And no response for a day or two. And I thought, well, I either have the wrong phone number, but somebody would probably tell me that. I think I sent a text. Or, you know, this isn't a smart idea. Like, what are you doing? So my next plan, though, plan C, was actually to write a letter, because I have a friend that did that, similar of trying to get towards people get in contact with people through the phone. But a lot of people think you're just a scammer. Sure. And so when he sent the letter, it worked. So I'm like, I got to do the letter.
This is a friend of yours that has a similar experience of DNA discovery?
Yeah, I actually helped him find. We can talk about that later, but
oh,
helped
good.
Him
well,
find.
you should tell this friend to be a guest on the show.
I did, and he said he was going to listen. And I'll ask him again, and he's like, maybe I'll do that, because that one's
maybe
really
once your episode comes out, you send your episode, and he'll say yes.
Yeah. So we're getting to like Sunday night. I must have done that on a Saturday or something, and I get a response. And we arrange a phone call, and it's a woman. Well, and I learned that it's my new uncle's wife. And I did not say what I had found. I went in with the researching my grandfather. And then I mentioned I saw some DNA. I think that we're related somehow. And as we were, I was kind of leading her to it without saying it. She said, so are you saying your grandfather is my husband's biological father? And I was like, well, you know, like that DNA would, I don't get what. Yeah, I don't, DNA would have to tell us something like that. And she said at some point, well, this isn't really, how did she say it? It's not as much of a surprise as you think, because there was another child after that in a different relationship, but that child was given up for adoption. And that child came back and found the woman, and my new uncle met her. And so they bonded and they have a relationship there. And so this story wasn't as much of a shock, because they had already had an experience like that, and he had a new sister. Now, that new sister has no relationship to me, no relationship to me, because she would have had a different father, and then she would have this mother that my grandfather had the relationship with. So I say that, and they did say they thought this was a scam, but she said to her husband, my new uncle, I think there's something to this. Can we, you know, let's call back and see. I just think there's something to this. And so we start his wife and I, and her name's Sue, we start putting pieces together, and thank goodness for Sue. And I have to tell you, I hit the jackpot with just the nicest people in the world. Like, this could have gone the complete opposite direction.
There are stories like that out there.
Yeah. Nicest people you'll ever meet. Truly. I can't say that about all my uncles. Just kidding. But nicest people. So we start putting dates and things together, and I start telling her my stuff. We go through days of exchanging texts on facts, and we're just getting more and more sure. And then I go back to my mom. My mom would confirm. At one point, Sue sent pictures, and I had exchanged the side-by-side pictures with her and some other family pictures, including my grandfather. And Sue sent a picture of a man holding a baby, which the baby would have been my new uncle, Mark. And I knew what it was, and I sent it to my mom, and my mom said, there's no doubt in my mind that that's my father. And so that pretty much sealed the deal of, I have a new uncle. Like, I was so excited. but we still didn't know the story. And so I start talking to my mom, and like I mentioned early on, I always heard my grandfather was good looking. To me, he was just grandpa, you know, like, don't look at him any other way. And I kind of knew my grandparents had an unusual relationship. They never slept in the same room. My grandma had a friend, Ed. Ed and grandma are the ones that took me to all the amusement parks and stuff. Wasn't grandma, grandpa. And then I knew a couple of, or I had remembered or something, a story about my grandpa and maybe another woman. And so when I started making my mom recall things, she recalled a couple of those stories. And I said, well, this isn't like this all makes sense from like a human perspective. You know, I have grandparents that had a strange relationship that didn't appear that close as I was growing up. And I didn't live in that same state. We moved around a lot. So I would go like in the summers. And I was like, and you know, people say grandpa's good looking, and my mom remembers them. She has some stories where she confronted my grandpa and picked up the party line, because 1950s, 1960s, there's the party line. And so my mom had heard things. And I, just from like a, it's just making sense from the type of person my grandfather saw. And if I looked at the family dynamics, what was going on, in like, man, light bulbs were going off like every other day for me of like, oh God, that makes sense now. Or, oh, no wonder grandpa didn't go to that. Or, oh, no wonder, you know, it was your whole childhood stuff healing part of that part going on in my head. So eventually we, you know, when Sue and I were talking, we learned that her daughter is the one that took the DNA test because she wanted to find out her ethnicity, which I hear that's why most people do their DNA.
Yep.
And her daughter was early 20s, and she never noticed that she didn't have anybody else with her last name related. And you know how most people go on those sites, that's what they want to see is their ethnicity, and they don't know how to use the rest of the stuff either, right? Or they just aren't interested. They just want to see if they're German or Irish or whatever. So that's why she just never picked up on it. And when I had seen her name on there and was trying to figure out, I actually messaged her. And that's another thing on there. Not everyone sees those messages because they don't go on, because they just want to see what their ethnicity is, and they get off. And so What I did, though, is when I realized how young she was, I didn't want to be the surprise to her not knowing this family at all. So I like deleted that message as soon as I figured out what young she was. And when I say young, early 20s, I didn't know her family. I didn't know what they knew or anything. It's like, I better go in the age group a little bit to have this conversation. So with all of that, you know, we're pretty sure. And my new uncle and his wife, Sue, eventually confront his mother again. What happened was she got really, really upset right away. And Sue said she's never seen her that upset ever. And so Sue kind of knew that they also hit something. So we continued to exchange information and put the pieces together. And what we could put together was that my new uncle's mother got divorced around the same time or right after she had my new uncle. And I did learn that man, my new uncle believed was his biological father. I don't think that relationship was real healthy either. And then what my new uncle eventually said is, I never felt like I fit in, and I really never felt like I looked like anybody. And I just figured it just might be, you know, I forget how he said it, but like looks are coming from somewhere else in the family. And he's like, he's basically like, I could never put my finger on it, but I just never fit. Like something was always off. And so we continued to exchange information, and they continued to gently ask my new uncle's mom questions. Eventually, she shared more information, and some of it was what you said in the beginning of the shame. And she had transformed her life so much and dedicated it to, she's very religious. And so in some peace and time in her life, she transitioned to be very religious. And so there was a lot of shame she carried from that. And what it was they did have an affair. And I can't remember if she said how long it lasted, if it was a year or a couple of years. And at some point, she realized that my grandfather was never going to leave my grandmother. Mm. And to put that into perspective, my grandfather would have only been in his early 30s, maybe 30, with 6 kids already. So 1950s, you're 30, you have 6 kids. You also were in World War II. You have a Purple Heart. I figured out also he married my grandmother before my mom, while she was pregnant. So a little bit of a premature marriage there in the traditional sense, right? In the 1950s. So they carried that relationship, and like I said, I can't remember if it was a year or 2 years. And then Marty, so that's my new uncle's mother, realized, and I just can't imagine the strength that it took, right? Because now you have a baby, and the story goes that she didn't know whose baby it was. Now we speculate that they all knew, and it's a hard thing to stomach, right? And look at just look at the times as well. Yeah. And so completely empathize with knowing enough about the 1950s and knowing about, you know, relationships and how things go, completely empathize with their situation. And we eventually let her know, you know, we embrace her. There's nothing about this that we would have it any other way. And at some point back in the 1950s, she told my grandfather, this is over. And she carried on with her life. The story goes that he said, you know, no, and wanted to stay in the relationship. And she said, no. And she moved on with her life. And then my, you know, grandfather moved on with her life. And then my new uncle and Marty, eventually Marty remarried. The stepfather raised my new uncle, and they moved to the adjacent state. And so, but Marty's family stayed in the town where all of this happened. Now, when I was dragging my mom's brain through this in her memory, she actually remembered going to their house. And when we scrutinized the pictures that Sue shared, one of them being my grandfather holding my new uncle as a, I don't know, like 6 or 7 month old baby. If you look at the back of the picture, or you can see on one of the desks or like a couch side table, you can see a picture of a little boy. And my mom goes, oh my gosh, that's Uncle Bob. Well, that's the same picture that my whole life of Uncle Bob and of six kids, for some reason, my grandparents only had Uncle Bob framed. That picture sat on the buffet in their house forever. So I knew that picture, and it looked at that background. I'm like, then that's your house, Mom. Did you take the picture? Because it's a really nice picture. It's 1950s. Who the heck had a camera? You know, and then there's another picture with Marty and my grandfather on the couch in the same house. So some way, there was interaction in my grandparents' house, and we can't figure out if my mom was babysitting, or maybe they had Marty over to babysit. Like, we never got to that story, but we did get through Marty enough information to share about the affair and how it ended. And then just how she carried on life and why this, like when I called, it was so difficult for her. She did have a lot of shame that she carried with it. And since then, she has passed away. And you know, we're very sad about that. And we, like I said, embraced them. He is my new uncle. We had a family get together with all the brothers and my mom and her sister so they could meet. It's a lesson in nature versus nurture, because the family that my mom's brothers and her sister grew up together, they're very sarcastic, kind of can be gruff. My new uncle is just the nicest, most soft-spoken, gentlest person you'll ever meet. And I cannot say that about all my uncles. Nice guys, good guys, but nature versus nurture.
Wow. So you guys actually did end up meeting him. So, because as you were telling the story, a lot of this was done through phone calls and through messaging, but then there was this gathering. So has there just been this one gathering, or have you guys gotten together more often? Do you message this uncle? Like, is there an ongoing family relationship? I know some families, you know, to be uncles or cousins or whatever, like that's very close. And other families, it might be, we only see uncle whoever at a funeral or at a wedding. We don't really see him any other time of the year. So, what's the state of it today?
Yeah, it's same with our family. A bunch of them live back east. I'm out west. My mom's out west. I have another uncle out west. We only go back, especially as you get older, we went back for a wedding. And then we went down to visit. They're probably an hour and a half away from the home base family town. So when we pass through the city, I try to, like I had to go there for a conference. And so we met for dinner. My other uncles, they just don't see each other except unless they live in the town or like I send a text message. Maybe I hear from, no one's ever going to send me one. That's just how we are. And, you know, everyone would do anything for everyone else, but we just don't, people just have their own lives. And so they don't keep in contact, except sometimes I'll see a Facebook likes from one of my uncles on Sue's page or Mark's, my new uncle. And I, you know, it's just that stuff, but that's how the family is anyway. So I wouldn't even ever say it's just because of the circumstances. It's just how they are anyway.
Sure.
My mom and I are more engaged, but that's how my mom is. And I, you know, I think they're just the nicest family. And so make sure they send me a gift every Christmas, which is more than generous. So.
Well, how wonderful. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the uncle. Of course, that's the discovery. But you discovered this uncle because of the 20-year-old girl taking the DNA and autosomal DNA test kit. So was there any interaction with her? Because, you know, I guess, you know, if you're having a family gathering, she's there. But she was really the piece that helped to connect all these missing pieces and whatnot, and allowed you to start looking at the story and putting it together. Was there interactions with her? And kind of, does she realize her role in helping to uncover all of this?
I'm not sure if she probably does. And that we did have interactions with her. She's really, really, really close to her parents. And was living there at the time, went to a localish college, very close to her parents. And so I think at some point somebody commented of like, little did she know what she started. And they're all real soft-spoken and stuff. And like, we're all Instagram friends or Facebook friends. So again, nobody's real good at in general about keeping up with each other. So it's just kind of that, 2024, you know, way of keeping in touch with your family. And then she's still so close with them that when I come to town or we pass through, she'll come out with them as well. And it's just that weird feeling. I don't know what the word is when you look at someone. Like when I looked at her picture and I found her on Facebook the first time, you just know something. And you just like, it's like, you just know, sometimes you know, like people have the same birthday as you when you look at them or something. It's like, it's just this weird feeling of like, you don't want to say you're related, but I'll never know what that feeling is. But that's, as soon as I looked at her, I was like, oh, she's one of us.
So for you, this kind of door opened to asking these questions because you were looking at your mom's ancestry DNA or whatever platform she was on. And so, what would you say, what's your advice to maybe someone who is looking at their personal account or they're looking at another relative's? They're like, something here doesn't make sense. Well, what kind of encouragement would you give someone that's kind of in that predicament and trying to make sense of that? And should they go forward looking into it or not?
Well, like I listened to a lot of these shows because before this, I was always fascinated with this stuff, right? And I hear the stories of where people just aren't ready either, and they might not be as open-minded. So I think it's, are you, if something doesn't make sense, are you ready to go down that path? I've had people ask me to help them search for things, and then I'll find something and I'll say, well, this is what I think it is. And they just won't do anything. They're just not ready. And that it is what it is, you know? Mm. And some people it's a door they want to open. So I think that's my advice. I got really lucky, right? Really lucky. And I don't think that's, I don't know what the percentage is of of that, but I can imagine there's some uncomfortable conversations if you push it too far. But if you didn't even want to go all that way to contact somebody, I find it fascinating to look in the city directories, what was going on, who lived by this person, and like,
yeah. You did a lot of research that I haven't heard people do before, you know, so you kind of were what your style and your method was a bit different than other searchers, I think.
Yeah. And now you can look in the 1940 census? That's the most recent, right? Or was it the fifth? Which one just came out? The 50? So I forget which one. I want to say the 50s, but I actually will go in the census a lot as well and see where people lived and stuff like that. And from that, you can see like I think at one point Marty and her husband at the time, who Mark thought was his biological father initially, lived with the parents or lived next door. Yeah, I don't think people realize how much the city directories can tell. Now, my last name is Eastern European. I've seen it spelled 9,000 different ways in city directories. That can be hard. I've seen a man pop up living at the same address as my Eastern European family and don't know his name, don't know where he went, can't ever find him in a census again. So like the city directories tell you more than you would think. Now they're a pain and you have to get used to them because some years they started putting ads in the front, some years the neighborhoods are in the back. Sometimes you can look up by street. I've done that before. You can like, okay, where did this street cross, you know, and who was living over here that they might be engaged with this person over here. So
wow,
they tell you they're just, they can get complex though, and they got bigger, you know, over the years.
Sure.
So you want to look at.
Yeah, that's some super sleuthing. So, but it was that sleuthing that you did that allowed you to call someone. And you know, I think at the end of the day, one of your advice, it was about, you know, kind of being sensitive, the fact that some of these people might not be ready. And you kind of acknowledged that. You were very aware of that because you're like, okay, I sent a message to this 20-year-old girl. Maybe I need to take that back. I need to delete that because, you know, or even when you were talking to Marty on the phone, you know, you kind of caught the fact that she was caught off guard, that she was reserved, she didn't want to touch the topic. So you kind of were, you know, you were dancing around the topic then and such. So, but it was really your investigative skills here that really put the story together and allows you to tell it today and for you to have that new uncle and to just know that you have this additional family member, kind of a bonus uncle that you never knew you had.
Yeah, so grateful. I feel so lucky. Learned a lot. I feel like, and when I said in the beginning, you know, that side of my family is like all Americana that you could ever think of as far as building the country. I also feel like there's history there in this, you know, what they say of the 1950s and what was going on and what... Yeah, just all that stuff. It's like, this is just another piece of kind of how we roll as time goes on. And you can discover now what, and it's unfortunate that she felt shame, Marty, but I get it. And we wanted to respect that. So hopefully, you know, we all embraced her before she passed and visited with her as well. You have to think of that empathy of she would have been early 20s, very early 20s, I think 21-ish, if I recall correctly. My grandfather would have been 30, around 30. And think back to what you were up to when you're 30 and 21, and you're this 30-year-old that just served in a war and was shot, and now you have 6 kids. And it's like, I think, dude, how did you have the time to, you know, any extra time to have a relationship on top of all of the stuff? And that's kind of where putting the pieces together of what I saw in their relationship. Maybe my grandfather wasn't as engaged at home, maybe.
Yeah.
So it just kind of all made sense in the end.
Yeah, it's interesting to look back at some of those questions. But then, you know, even too, you could look at it and say, well, life would have been a lot different if grandpa would have left grandma, even though they didn't sleep in the same bedroom, and that grandma had Ed or whoever it was on the side. You know, like, they had this very bizarre relationship, but yet they stayed together for this, for whatever reason. But life would have been real different if grandpa would have went to be with Marty then. And, you know, kind of, yeah, you can't even begin to fathom what that picture could have looked like. Of course, we don't have to, because it didn't happen. But if certain pieces probably would have fell into the right place, it's possible that maybe a different family life could have evolved from this whole story. But that wasn't the way that it happened.
Right. And I do remember I did start, my grandma has one sister still alive. She had, my gosh, I'm getting old myself. It feels like she had six sisters. One was actually a niece, but my great grandmother raised her as a daughter. So she has one sister still alive, and I drill her like, didn't you know? But she was the youngest sister. And she would have been only like, I think she's actually kind of weirdly in the middle of my mom and my grandma. And she's like, no, but she did recall a couple of times my grandma wanting them getting in the car to go to the courthouse and possibly, you know, look at asking for a divorce, and then didn't for whatever reason. And, and who knows why? It's the 50s and 60s. You've got six kids. So you just don't know what's going on behind that people, you know, relationships, and there's just a lot there.
Yeah, that's the whole thing when it comes to these DNA discoveries, these stories of finding family. There's so many different layers and different aspects of the story, and you know, you just keep discovering and keep understanding it throughout it all. So I'm very grateful to you, Lisa, for reaching out to me, to sharing your story. You sent an email back in November and said, hey, I have a new uncle. I'd love to share the story. And that's how we got to this episode today. So you reaching out to share your story. And so I encourage others who might be in a similar situation where they have found family, that they can reach out to me, and I would be happy to connect with them at some point to record an episode and to share their story with this DNA Discoveries audience. So thanks for being a listener, and now thanks for being a guest on the show.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'll continue to listen and tell all my friends.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks for doing that.